This year they moved it up from whatever the date was last year. We're in the second hour with Randall Kelton, and it's a show that you probably should catch either later in the week or order from First Amendment Radio. Randall Kelton is using the grand jury in order to get recourse and remedy against official misconduct and basically crime, which so many places, everybody from the cops to the judges are used to having immunity. In fact, on a regular basis, their jobs have been absolutely secure unless they were involved with child pornography or something in a public way. But otherwise, they've been able to do just about as they please, as long as they, in the case of police, they didn't ruffle the department rules too much. But as long as they were in sync with either the Bar Association or the police department hierarchy, they were safe to do just about anything. Well, Randall has taken a course that most of us have dismissed, and that is going to the grand jury. I mean, most of us have thought that the grand jury was absolutely controlled by the prosecutor, and there was just no help there, no possibility. Well, the dynamics are not that way. Randall's website, he's got a new website. He's also doing this is something that I'm sure people all over this country are going to be interested in, because finally you got a way to get something accomplished, to rattle the cage in a serious way, if nothing else, and do it in a safe manner. Randall will probably get into that again. But the website. Now, Randall, you may have to help me. It's www.jurisimprudence.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's JURISIMPRUDENCE.com. JurisImprudence.com. And let's see. I was going to ask Randall whether you have toyed with using this against other crimes of a color of law crimes, let's put it that way, where someone has come under the pretense of law, including people like IRS, and they are noted for just smashing people in their lives and their families, oftentimes without process. So virtually all the time without due process.
As far as I know, if a public official is within the state of Texas, it doesn't matter that he's a federal official. He still has to follow state law. And in Texas, we have 3903 Penal Code. Every state is going to have one that corresponds to this, because 3903 Penal Code is part of the Ku Klux Klan Act, passed in 1871. In the federal law, it's 18 U.S. Code 242. That makes it a crime for a public official to violate a law relating to his office, or to exert an authority he does not expressly have, or fail to perform a duty he's required to perform. That's a criminal act. It's defined in the federal law, and it's defined in the state law. And the state law just reflects what the federal law says. So every state will have it. So if a public official comes into the state and he violates a law relating to his office, that's a crime, and it always goes to the grand jury. So feds are the same way. They're just as vulnerable as everybody else.
You know, Randall, there's something that's been passed around here recently about the FBI being the lead agency in color of law violations. They could be useful. I mean, obviously the FBI is not clean. There's at least a portion of the FBI who's been actively involved with Waco, Ruby Ridge, although that was mostly ATF, but the FBI has been right in there. Oklahoma City, at least the first a World Trade Center bombing, and on the list goes. But they've advertised as being the lead agency in color of law violations. Now, let's see if this they can actually be held to that. It would be interesting.
The problem they have is it doesn't matter if you get them indicted or not. You put them in front of the grand jury, and that FBI agent who may be following the directions of his boss is saying, wait a minute, Bubba, this is my career. These guys could send me to jail. They say, oh, we'll take care of that. Yeah, sure, you're going to take care of a grand jury. You're going to go in there and influence that grand jury? If they indict me, I'm history. You know, I like to pick complaints where I accuse an official of following policy. And when I nail him, he's going to go to his boss and say, what the heck is going on here? Why am I getting trouble for doing what you told me to do?
Very, very good.
So whether you get him indicted or not, you disrupt everything. And this is where we'll beat them. It's not up at the top, but right down here in the ranks. We nail one FBI agent with complaints to a grand jury. He's got to sit for at least a month waiting for them to decide whether or not they're going to indict it. Because with these kind of complaints, you present it to the grand jury, and they hear it, and then the next time they come in, then they vote on it. So he's got to wait to see if the time falls in on him.
Yeah.
He's going to need a lot of laxative in this time because his anal sphincter muscle is going to be sucked up pretty tight. And that's what we really want. I'm really not concerned about ending a public official's career for doing what his boss told him to do. One of the officers that this friend of mine filed aggravated robbery charges against, I have encountered him earlier, and he was extremely professional with me. I liked him, and I did not want to do this to him. But this was my duty. It didn't matter what I wanted. I expect my police to do their duty whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
So I'll present them whether I want to or not. I hope the grand jury don't indict him. I hope they don't take his pension away from him and ruin his whole life. That's not my purpose. My purpose has been served just because he's been in front of them. And
no.
This is all you need. You'll find you don't have to know law. It's especially good if you set them up because you know exactly the law you're trying to get them to break. And you only have to know that one. And when you go in front of the grand jury, you say, you know, this law says he's supposed to do this and he didn't do it. Now, you don't have to convict him. That's what a pettit jury's for. And there's all kind of protections in case there's not enough evidence to convict him. But there is enough to indicate that he violated this law, and you have a duty. And it puts them on a moral dime. And these guys take that moral dime real serious. And I tell you, first time you've done it, first time you look that grand jury in the eye, you will look across the table and you will see allies that you didn't know you had.
As long as
when you walk out and talk to the prosecuting attorney, when he walks, you'll be able to hear his butt squeak. It'll be sucked up so tight. And that will tell you how dangerous you are. That's the day that'll change everything.
Wow.
Any questions?
Well, Randall, you brought up something just a minute ago about official policy. And the guy that I think brought us together, Jay, has told me that, he has looked at the notion of official policy and with the idea that I think that it's worth some bucks if you're violated by official policy, because this is coming down from a high level and is completely inexcusable.
There's a name for that.
Yes.
Called RICO.
I can't think of it. Say it again.
RICO.
Oh, okay. Racketeering.
Yes, if these public officials conspire to do things that act in violation of law, and they perpetrate ongoing schemes, that's the definition of RICO. And if you read my writ, you'll find terms in there that came right out of proof of facts for RICO. I make exactly that allegation, that this officer conspired with his boss to commit an ongoing criminal conspiracy. Now, they don't look at it that way. Well, we'll see how a grand jury looks at it.
Yep.
And that's the problem they have. And policy never becomes law. If policy doesn't have law, I think it's Hall versus State. No matter how well used or well accepted, policy never gains legal authority by usage. So if what they're doing violates law, it violates law. What I maintain is, if a policeman arrests you, searches you, shackles you, puts you in the back of the police car, cranks the police car, points it toward the jail, he has committed aggravated kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Aggravated with his weapon. Right.
Aggravated because he's carrying a pistol.
Right.
And it's kidnapping because he made no due diligent effort to locate a magistrate before he pointed the car toward the police department. He did that as a matter of policy.
Right.
In furtherance of an ongoing criminal conspiracy. In order to give the jailers, the magistrate, and the prosecutor opportunity to commit all kinds of other crimes against you, which this writ lays out step by step. It's ugly business. And
now,
once you've read the whole writ, it'll give you just a bucket full of compliance. You'll like it.
Randall, I might mention that, have you seen Charles Wiseman's work at all? The Authority of Law and A Treatise on Arrest and so on?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my. I don't think that you need it particularly, but for those who really want to know the power of law that was basically inaccessible in the past, but it was the nitty gritty. I mean, it was the bottom line, and it, I believe, is, you know, it's that body of law that we've referred to that's so great in this country that we need to do everything we can to preserve, because it does preserve the individual sovereignty and freedom.
Good. He is saying exactly what I say in my seminars. Here in Texas, we have the Republic of Texas, and they've been advocating getting rid of the statutory law and going back to common law. And I'm saying, bad idea. Common law is law by judges. We have an incredibly good corpus juris. Our laws are incredibly well structured. There's not a thing wrong with them. We're just not enforcing them. We hired our police to police us, to keep us from doing stupid stuff that would get us killed. And we didn't return the favor and police our police. Everything we need to use to police our police is right there in front of us. And we just haven't used it. Once we start using it, the floodgates will open. You'll be like Steve over here. He called me from East Texas. He went to buy some property at a tax sale, and they wouldn't give him a bidder's receipt, a bidder's card. And he argued with the tax assessor a while, and then just called over the sheriff's deputy and said, arrest her. Well, see, he could do that because he'd already been before the grand jury, and he found out.
Yeah.
Well, she went and got the county attorney, and the county attorney came out there, and she asked him about it, and the county attorney said, give it to him. When Steve called me, and he told me something I already knew. He said, hey, that was fun. And he's right. It is fun. First time you do it, it'll scare the bejesus out of you, and you'll be worried about it. But when you walk up to that grand jury and go to the foreman and give him those papers to give to the grand jury, and you see the look on his face, you'll know this means business. And the way he treats you will tell you you're not going to have any trouble. As a rule, unless he's wacko. I prefer to do it in the courtroom, because the district judge is not going to do anything stupid. He knows when he's under threat. and he'll let you talk to him. And once the grand jury, you talk to them and they look back at you, then you know. The next time, oh, it's going to be fun. I do this all the time, and it makes these public officials crazy. And I just did it in Richardson, Texas. I asked to see some records, and the clerk wouldn't show them to me. So I said, well, go get the judge. Get the judge to tell me I can't see him. Well, the judge is not here. Well, in that case, go get the bailiff. She said, well, the bailiff can't show him to you. Oh, I don't want the bailiff to show him to me. I want the bailiff to arrest you. She looked at me like she can't believe I just said that. I said, never mind. I'll go get the bailiff. I get the bailiff, ask her to arrest her, and she refuses. She said she can't arrest her. So I said, that's okay. Give me the police department. I'll just call them. She gave me the number. I called the police, asked them to come out and arrest her, and told her I'll be sitting out here in the lobby reading a book. And then I was joking with teasing the bailiff. I'd already told the bailiff, hey, go back here and arrest her. Look, you sit here all day. You don't do anything. It's boring. Make life exciting. Go back there and throw the cuffs on her and drag her off to jail. She told me, Mr. Kelton, you are having far too much fun. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. They couldn't figure it out. I'm supposed to be angry and demanding.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
Well, Randall, your approach is important, too. If somebody goes in there with vengeance in their mind, I don't think they'll be nearly as effective.
Right. They know how to do that. These guys know how to do confrontation.
Yeah.
So when I go in there, I always wear a suit. If they don't know who I am, and I don't want them to know who I am, if they ask me what I'm doing there, I'm doing a white paper for the legislature.
And are you a lawyer?
Do you really want to know if I'm a lawyer? Do you masturbate in the shower? Oh, wait. That's none of my business. Oh, I forgot. Go away.
Oh.
You don't have to answer the question.
Yeah.
They can ask you who you are. But that's it. And I never argue about that. I always tell them who I am. Immediately. I generally tell them who I am. First thing, hello, my name's Randall Kelton. I want to see these records. Now they don't have anything to ask me.
Hey, folks, if you've got a question, give us a call. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. If you would like to learn more about this and put it into effect, now is your chance. And also, darn computer is not functioning properly. I'm trying to get to the website. But the website is www.jurisimprudence.com. And that's, it'll go right to that on Google, by the way, if you put in jurisimprudence, or you can just put it in your browser and go, I guess. Jurisimprudence, JURISIMPRUDENCE. And anyway, call us, 559-781-3773. If you've got a situation that you might want to, put to use in this manner, give us a call with it. Anyway,
one of the things that I should have said earlier.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing to go before them personally.
Yes.
But it's not at all necessary. One of the things, if I'm doing a county that's too far away, I go before a grand jury because it's fun. Once you've done it a time or two, you'll enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And I really like to see how tense everybody gets when I walk in the building. In Johnson County, I had a sheriff's deputy tell me, he said, Mr. Kelton, you seem rather personable. You mind if I give you some advice? I said, well, sure. He said, you know, when you come down here poking the bear the way you do, you really need to be careful. I said, oh, Sergeant, don't worry. I'm always very careful. 30 minutes later, I went in and presented the district attorney to the grand jury. I came back up and saw that same sergeant. I said, Sergeant, I want to express my appreciation for your concern earlier, but I think you were mistaken. He said, how's that, Mr. Kelton? Well, you warned me about poking the bear. You see, you don't understand, Sergeant. I am the bear. And he laughed and he said, "Yes, Mr. Calton, today I suppose you are." Well, I can tell you, folks, when you start filing complaints with the grand jury, you are the bear.
Huh. Now, you said that you can do this without appearing, and it may come in handy for someone who's sitting in jail. Is that something that can be accomplished?
Oh, you can just make up find out from the district clerk. The district clerk will know their names. You can send them an information request, and she'll send you the names. Then make up a complaint for each one and a statement of probable cause. Make up 12 envelopes and make a letter and put in that envelope. And on this letter, you tell the grand jury that you're making allegations against public officials, and the only address I have for you is the grand jury, district attorney's office. So I had to send them there. And I'm concerned, since the district attorney may not be happy about this, that he might not give them to you. And I don't want to call down there and annoy him, so will you please, when you receive this, just initial this letter that you received it, put it in the enclosed stamped self-addressed envelope and send it back to me? That way I'll know you got it. The real reason for that is if you don't get those within a week, that establishes probable cause to believe that the prosecuting attorney secreted them from the grand jury. And then you can go to the federal grand jury or petition the district judge for a court of inquiry. All kind of crap you can do.
Now, well, we'll get back into that, I hope. Jerry's calling from Florida. Jerry, hi.
Hey.
Come on in.
Good to talk to you. I'm enjoying the show very much.
No kidding. Getting a taste of actually being able to do something is so refreshing. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It is.
What's happening?
Here's our deal. We're working with a wonderful lady in Orlando, and the code enforcement officer of the city of Orlando, it's a big city, is really going after her with a vengeance. And we have her code enforcement case in an appeal, but we did some public records requests, and we found out from this code enforcement officer that, in fact, in his resume, he said he went to UCF, University of Central Florida, and received a Bachelor of Arts degree. And I went over there and checked with those registrar down there, and they said this fellow never went to the UCF. And in other words, he lied on his application 9 years ago when he got this $120,000 a year job.
Oh, cool.
And what
you know,
be your actions on this? Could you give us some advice? Because we got it in writing, and it's really dynamite.
I hear this a lot from police
officers. Yes, it is.
When I go to file complaints, you know it's a crime to put a false statement on a government document.
It's real serious stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In Texas, it's a felony.
The felony?
If you put a false statement on a government document and you intend that it be taken as true, that's a felony in Texas. That is a big deal.
Oh, God.
And it's certainly grounds for removal. We have a chapter in the government code that says that if a public official is convicted of a crime relating to his office, he must be removed from office immediately. And there is in the federal law, and I'm sure all states have quo warranto. Quo warranto is a method of removing a public official from office.
How do you spell that?
Quo Warranto.
Okay, I've seen that, yes.
Well, I could see all 10 listeners grinning from ear to ear. This is great.
Where would we file this?
Grand jury.
That's what I'm getting out of this. That's why I'm, you know, I can tell you this. I got on the internet and I typed in the word grand jury, and I got all sorts of hits, and some of them, you know, there's all kinds of procedures that are available out there and how these grand juries work. I haven't got back to looking at it, but.
Well, one thing I can tell you, nothing restricts you from going to the grand jury. And what you're not forbidden to do, you may do. So they can take, as far as I'm concerned, they can take all of their policies and stick them. I'm not bound by their policies, by prosecutors, police, courts. None of their policies am I bound by. My complaint with the grand jury is between me and the grand jury and nobody else.
Aha.
If anybody else interferes, I'll be filing charges against them quickly. And they won't like that a bit because, you know, that goes to the heart of the system.
Can we use that 18 U.S.C. 242 then?
Yes.
In the state?
That's federal.
Yes, but can we use that in the state?
Yeah, there will. In Texas, it's 3903. It's called official oppression. And every state is going to have an official oppression, official misconduct statute.
So I should search our Florida statutes and find which one is in reference to lying on a public document.
Yeah, well, that one is tampering. In Texas, it's called tampering with a government document.
Yes.
Or falsifying. Either one of those should find it. And you read the statute, and when I fill out a criminal complaint, if you look on my site, you'll see complaints. Florida's complaints are made entirely different than ours. I talked to someone down there recently. But it's just the form. Just how they're laid out is different. You go down to the court clerk and the district clerk and look through some criminal files and pull a couple of them. They'll all be the same, exact same form. So once you've got the basic form down, it's real simple.
Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And again, we've been at a quandary on what to do with this great information. And, you know, I mentioned this to my brother, and he said, "Do you want to destroy this person's life?" And I said, "Well, I really don't care to destroy his life, but I mean, he lied, and he's destroying a lot of people's lives."
You know, we're grown-ups here, and I don't like to harm people if I can avoid it. But I have to follow law. You have to follow law. Of all people, public officials have to follow law. He hasn't earned any compassion here.
Yes.
If he wants that job, let him go back to school and get his degree like you're supposed to start with.
Well, thanks for this stuff, you guys. I really appreciate it.
You are most welcome.
We'll go back to listening. You know, keep us posted, Jerry. We need the feedback. I know Randall needs it. I do, too. So,
oh, yes. I need all the laughs and chuckles I can get.
We need to give him all the ammo that we can so we can have him on and tell stories here on this program because, boy, that's great. Last time we had Randall on, this was still mostly theory except his own experience. And what's changed since then, Randall?
I have been trying different things for a long time, trying to isolate exactly how the system works, where its strengths, where its weaknesses are. And this was actually the last thing to try. I had tried filing complaints with everybody else, judges, magistrates, prosecutors, and it all pointed to the same place. Everything pointed to the grand jury. And so a few months ago, I started after grand juries. I had been filing with them, but remotely. This is the first time I went after them directly. And that was the key. That changed everything. I stopped following with officials and filed straight with a grand jury. That opened the doors. And it's going to open a floodgate.
Okay, when we come back, I want you to elaborate on that, going directly rather than remotely with the grand jury. Randall Kelton is our guest. The phone number and the line is open, 559-781-3773. We'll be right back.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but he also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Liberty Forum. John Bryant with our guest Randall Kelton. Randall has written The Frog Farm Conspiracy, and his website, new website, Juris Imprudence, that's JURISIMPRUDENCE.com. JurisImprudence.com. If you'd like to join us, call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and I'm not sure if we have a caller or not. Let's see if Liz from Nevada is calling.
Hello, John?
Liz.
Hi. I'm enjoying the show and Randall's information. That's great information. The particular thing that I was calling about was some guys in California tried to do this about a year, 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, and they wrote a criminal complaint and actually tried to file it into the federal courts, and it didn't work at all. And so Randall would, the way they should have done it, they should have actually written it up and sent it into the grand jury directly.
I haven't examined the federal law yet, but I understand that a grand jury can only hear something if a complaint, if a warrant has been issued. Something that needs to be fixed. They, for the federal laws, they put the judges in between.
Oh,
right.
My.
Well, what these guys found out, or what happened to them, is the they were told that the district attorney was the only one who could invoke the grand jury or indict.
It's not in law. So, they tell me that, too.
They were trying to indict some mortgage bankers, actually.
Yeah.
And a judge, they said, who was working with them.
Yeah. They tell me the same thing. And I tell them, screw you. I'm going to them anyway. There's no law that says I can't. And that's their policy. You guys follow your policy all you want to. I'm not subject to your policy.
Well, I already got on the internet and found your website and started going through it, and I hope that I'll be able to find the exact steps to follow to be able to see how I can make this work. It sounds so powerful. Thank you so much, Randall.
You're welcome.
And thank you for calling, Liz. Voice out of the past. That's great hearing your voice. The law really is exercised in the states, though, isn't it? I mean, the real law, not the commercial law.
The law that the approach I take is these public officials, in Texas, the Republic of Texas says that the laws aren't real. I say, okay, well, these guys are pretending like they're real. And they'll pretend like they'll arrest me on these pretend laws. So, I'm going to pretend like they're real, and I'm going to take their pretend laws and pretend to beat the crap out of them with them. So I stay right in the statutory law. There is plenty in there to give you plenty of redress.
Randall.
Yes.
Oh, finish your thought. Sorry.
That was it.
Okay. I think there's somebody you may know that's called in. Jay, come on in, Jay. From
thank you, John. Hello, Randy.
Hey.
Say, I just wanted you to let you know that 2 weeks ago Thursday, we filed a complaint on a Department of Public Safety officer, and what we charged him with was false arrest and kidnapping and false imprisonment and aggravated assault, battery, and trespass.
Wonderful.
You like that, huh?
Yes.
It took me 20 minutes to figure out all that stuff to charge him.
I bet you got his attention.
Well, what we did is we went to Webb County, and we went down to the court clerk and filed it and asked them to serve him summons because at the time of the arrest, he was a trainee. He was under orders from the fellow that was training him as to what to do to a friend of mine, and he did it, and then they threw him in jail, and they issued him a warning ticket, and then from the warning ticket, he ended up in jail. False arrest. Wasn't doing anything. Not really. But anyway, they told the guy, well, they couldn't send him the service because they didn't know where he was, and the guy says, well, you know, Texas is a pretty big state. I don't know where he is right now. I don't know where he's going to base himself from. They said, no problem. We'll send service to him. And it's been 2 weeks now. We figure the service has been set now. I should be home in a week or two. And then we're going to issue a motion to set. And then we're going to have a little trial.
Wait, you can't prosecute him.
No, this is a civil tort.
Oh, okay. Then take those complaints and ask that district clerk who the grand jury members are, then go to the district judge's secretary or court coordinator or whatever they call her,
the
one who keeps his calendar. Each district, a grand jury will be formed under a district judge, under
sure.
A district court.
Yeah.
Find out which court has it. Go to the court coordinator and ask her, when is the grand jury scheduled to meet next? She has the dates. And when they meet, you go up and sit in the courtroom. When they finish meeting in the basement or wherever they meet and deliberating in secret, they're going to come to that court. They'll hand in their indictments to the clerk, and the judge will say, does the grand jury have any more business? And the foreman will say, no, Your Honor, we don't. And you stand up and say, yes, you do. And I got these criminal complaints for you, you bushwhacker.
Well, we want, all we're asking for the civil portion of this trial is $5 million.
If you get an indictment,
your
civil is almost before, it's not a matter of whether you win, just how much you get.
Anything, we just want to rock his world.
You go to the grand jury and you will really rock his world.
Well,
if you got an ugly story to tell the grand jury, you got to know they're like you. They're going to feel just as vulnerable to somebody like that as you do.
Randy, I sat on a grand jury back in 1983. I was a grand jury panel member. I've been there. I've seen how it operates. And I even watched the DA try to shepherd everything.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few that has been a grand juror.
How'd you like it when the grand jury tried to lead you around by your nose?
Me being me, they can yank all they want. I'm going the way I need to go. Yeah, I'm not real good at being yanked around.
Yeah.
It's a failure to my character.
What? Most of the grand jurors aren't. They know when the prosecutor's jerking them around, and they don't like it. And when you go in with did you have anyone present a public official to you?
No.
Wouldn't that have been fun?
Back then, what they tried to do with us was indict somebody that was related to somebody that had just been indicted, because they happened to live in the same place. And I told them, I asked them, what evidence do you have that there's any complicity in the previous indictment? And they said, none, but they live there. I said, I don't think living in a place is a criminal offense.
See, that's the thing about grand jurors, is they take their job serious.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And we were sworn to secrecy back then. Now I can talk about it. It's over 20 years later.
This is, when people go before the grand juries, that's what they'll find out. Is they're like you. They're people just like you and me. And these police, they know, you get in front of a grand jury talking about them, he might have even pulled one of them over and gave them some crap. He don't know.
Especially in a small place. Randall, elaborate a little bit more on going after the criminal charges before the civil.
Oh, the criminal and civil don't have anything to do with one another. They're totally separate. However, when you go after the criminal, they're going to screw it up. If you just go after them directly, everybody's going to hide the complaints. The district attorney's going to do a song and dance. Did you get to claim that as concert and collusion?
Yeah.
Conspiracy after the fact. They just build up all kind of stuff that even if they didn't look guilty to start with, by the time they get through screwing things around, messing them up, they will look guilty. And if you can set them up carefully, pick the violations you know you can get them to violate, and things that will look bad in front of a grand jury.
Well, Randy, when I get home, I'm going to give you a call.
Okay.
And we'll discuss this issue a little bit more, because we haven't issued a motion to set for hearing. So they got the paperwork. They're mulling it over now and trying to find what the defenses would be. And if it comes out necessary, or not necessary, but I think it'd be a good idea to give them a left hook while we hit them with the right jab with the criminal complaint also, we'll do that. I'll discuss it with you, and we'll format a dynamite assault.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
Okay, Jay. And the line's available, 559-781-3773. Randall, go ahead though with your thoughts there, because other people want to get a little bit of a handle on this too with this
approach.
That
goes to a primary presupposition that I deal with all the time, is that when a citizen violates a criminal statute, that it's a crime. But when a public official violates a criminal statute, why, that's something else. I went with this district attorney. I filed against him, against a judge that wouldn't let me see a hearing. I filed with the district attorney, and he insisted that I give it to the sheriff's department. I told him, bad idea. They insisted. So I went to the sheriff's department. Since I'd already filed it with the district attorney, it didn't matter. Well, they only threatened to arrest me three times before I got it filed. The first policeman came out and sat down, and I took out my little book. I have this contact sheet that I fill out. I take out this sheet of paper, and across the top it says contact sheet, and has a place for name and badge number and position. And I just sat there for a minute or two in front of him asking him questions. Who are you? What's your position? What do you do? What's your badge number? And they're sitting there looking at me wondering, who the heck is this? And I get all that done, and then I hand him a criminal, verified criminal affidavit. He looks at it, and I'm accusing the judge of secreting me from denying me access to a public hearing. He said, well, I can't take this. Of course you can. You already did. Well, I can't file it. Of course you can. Nothing to it. Just take it down and give it to the magistrate. We went back and talked to his boss and come back out, and he said, you're going to have to get an attorney. I said, no, I don't need an attorney. I got you. He said, no, you're going to have to get an attorney and file a civil suit. I said, look, Bubba, I'm making known to you the crime's been committed. I'm going to expect you to act in accordance with Article 213 Code of Criminal Procedure, take this complaint and give it to some magistrate. So you're just going to have to leave the building. Well, what are you going to do if I don't? Well, I'm going to arrest you. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I got a better idea. You go back there and get your supervisor so I can prefer criminal charges against you and have him arrest you instead. That'll be a lot more fun. And I had given him a letter from the district attorney,
yes,
directing me to file a complaint with him. I wound up with three of them threatening to arrest me. And one of them was the deputy that Steve just filed aggravated robbery charges against. And he was the only one that wasn't stupid.
Hey, Stephen is called from Montana.
They want to make it civil. They want desperately to make it civil.
Yeah.
Screw that. We'll talk about civil later.
And we haven't got too much later to go on. But Stephen, don't want to keep him hanging. They're calling long distance. Come on in,
Randall. Have you heard of Jack and Margie Flynn's methods there? Have you heard about them at all?
Can you say that again? I had trouble hearing.
Jack and Margie Flynn.
Yes, I've got the note right on the table in front of me. I just looked at one of their sites.
Okay, well, I was wondering, what do you think about doing their presumptive letters and then an affidavit, and then their affidavit thing that they do, and then taking that to a grand jury after neither are rebutted or anything? That'd be pretty powerful.
I was doing some research on that, and I have yet to find where someone is actually required to respond. Doesn't mean it's not there. I just didn't find it yet. The first two citations I looked up were not on point. So I really don't know. Frankly, I've done this by myself all these years. I haven't looked into the things that other people are doing. But from what I hear, Jack and Marty Flynn have real good results. But I have no real personal knowledge of it. Those kinds of documents I avoid like the plague. And it's not because I think anything's wrong with them. But when I put a document in front of that judge, I want him to think that the attorney across the street wrote it. I don't want anything to trigger any other perception, because I'm using his law just the way he uses his law. It makes him real hard. Makes it real hard for him to ignore anything I do. If they do, when I go to the higher courts above them, I'm using the exact same law that everybody else uses, it's just a lot harder. And that, for me, is just a matter of personal self-discipline.
Okay.
Once I finish the grand jury part and get other people doing this, then I'll sit down and go into these others.
I see.
Right now, I don't really know much about what they do. I've heard that they do real well.
Well, I was just, what they do is they set up, you write them a letter, and then they don't rebut the letter, then you sign an affidavit, and you give the opposition to rebut that affidavit, and they don't, then you file that affidavit. And then I was wondering, after you file the affidavit, then you take that to the grand jury, and if that was pretty powerful, do something like that.
I looked at the affidavit, and as far as I got were the first two citations that claimed to put a requirement on the court to rebut or reply to the affidavit. The first case was an Oklahoma case, which I was familiar with, and it only referred to notice, that a statute had to be to give sufficient notice to a person so he would know when he violated the statute.
I get it.
And the second one said that it was a... you had to... that it was wrong, I forgot exactly the term, to refuse to respond when you had a moral or legal duty to respond. Well, that was close, but I didn't find anything that demonstrated that they had a legal duty to respond. Well, they said it's fraud if you fail to respond when you have a legal or moral duty to respond, but I couldn't find where they were given that duty. Now, that's not saying anything in there. I just probably didn't get to that part yet. And I've had so many things that I'm studying. I just filed a writ of habeas corpus with the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, wherein I made criminal charges against the district judge for not hearing a writ of habeas corpus because I wasn't an attorney. And I'm filing another writ for a woman that they took her kids away from her. A horrible violation of the law against another district judge. I just hadn't had time to finish researching that. I first looked at their site just a couple days ago. So I don't want to sound like I'm saying anything against Jack and Marty Flynn. I just haven't had time to finish going through their document.
Okay, that's okay.
But I hear nothing but good about these people.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you guys go.
Okay.
Hey, bye.
Any other questions?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. If anybody has success, please let us know. Hit my mic off there for a minute. Yeah, there are all kinds of situations out here, and maybe we can stay ahead of the curve. They're going to be trying to quash this effort, that's for sure, but I don't know, you know, what they've got available to do that. Randall, you were saying that they want you to go civil rather than criminal.
Oh, absolutely. Civil, it's almost impossible to win in a civil case against a public official. The courts just, they don't want to have public officials held liable because, you know,
right,
they're public officials. They all work together. There may be people out there who's won money from them, but I've never met one. Until we get the court in a position to where he has something to worry about that he can't avoid. Criminal prosecution is one of them. The Ku Klux Klan Act passed in 1871. During the Reconstruction, we left the police, the sheriffs, and the constables, and the judges all in place, unlike what Bush did in Iraq. And we did that to avoid the chaos they got in Iraq. However, the Yankee carpetbaggers went down there and told them how they were going to do things, and the old-time Southerners told them to go scratch. So they followed the passed the Ku Klux Klan Act. Senator Trumbull in 1867 stood on the House floor and said, "In the South, different punishments are flowing from the same crimes if you were white or if you were black." And that was the reason for the passage, for judges. And once they passed it, the portion that said that if a public official violates the law relating to his office and denies a citizen full free access to or joinery and right, he's subject to that citizen civil tort. The Supreme Court came along in 1871 and said, wait. When the legislature said every person, why, they didn't mean every person. They didn't mean us. That's exactly what they meant. But judges threw down the gauntlet for the legislature, and the legislature didn't pick it up. So judges made themselves immune from suit. But there was another part of the act that made it a crime for the public official to violate the law. Senator Trumbull said, the arrest and prosecution of a couple of officials in the South, preferably high-level officials, will serve to put an end to this whole sordid business. And I think he was right then. I think he is right now.
Yes.
The arrest and prosecution of a couple of officials will put an end to this whole sordid business. And now, with the levels of communication we've got, we can spread this around so quickly it'll come on them as an onslaught. By the time they have time to figure out it's really a problem, we're going to be all over them.
Wildfire. Yep. My, my. That website, Jurisprudence. And let me spell that out, because I know sometimes it doesn't come across completely clearly, but it's JURISIMPRUDENCE.com. And Randall is available for seminars. Sounds like just the ticket. If you've got a law group, you know, just get them and a few more friends and get a hold of Randall.
Yeah, and if you want to do it, read that writ of habeas corpus, the top frog, the first frog, the one, see no evil, hear no evil. Click on him, and it'll take you to the writ of habeas corpus. And that'll walk through all the due process violations and give you a real good idea of what's going on. And when you read that, you will recognize all these things I step on. Everybody else across the country has read that and said, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. And this will show you exactly how it's wrong and why they set it up the way they set it up, so that they put you in a position to where you have no alternative but to take in a deal when they offer it. Anyway, once you've read that a couple of times, it'll start to make sense.
Powerful, powerful stuff. And I do believe, we'll keep in touch, Randall. I really appreciate you coming on, especially last minute, like it turned out to be. Powerful show, and just great work. Thank you.
You are welcome. And good night.
Go ahead, Randall. Thank you. Anyway, do get a hold of Randall. He's quite the character, and he's got a great sense of humor. I'm sure he would put on a dynamite seminar if that's what you would like to do. Thanks for being with us, and ever onward. Good night.
Wow.